There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. And let me remind you as well, one of the many ways to get in touch with us, of course, the text line and the phone line, both 343-0106. But in addition, you can leave us a talkback message with the FM Talk 106.5 app, which I'd love for you to check out. You can go to, if you're an Apple user, go to the App Store. If you're an Android user, go to Google Play and just search for FMTALK1065. When you do, you'll see our logo. Download the free app there, and it's a digital multi-tool. You've got everything from, of course, streaming the station to our latest news feeds to our social media platforms to traffic maps on there. That'll come in the conversation in a second. Plus, up-to-date weather there, 55 hours a week of podcasts we produce here, but also on that front page, you'll see a microphone icon. If you'll press that, you can leave us a message and we'll play it back right here on FM Talk 106.5. All right, so check it out. The brand new app is out there. I mentioned as we went in the news, an event coming up tomorrow afternoon starting at 5:30. Coastal Conversations is going to host a panel discussion titled How to Build a Bridge, a Community Conversation. And joining us from the Coastal Conversations, the Executive Director, Michael Chambers, to talk more about that. Thanks for your time. Thanks for being on with us.
Oh, Sean, thank you so much for having me. We're really excited about the program.
Yeah, so talk about this. You have a panel when we talk about the bridge. And Lord knows we've talked about the bridge a lot on this show, but talked about the experts you're bringing into the mix here.
Sure. And, one of the things we do is we bring kind of world-class experts. Typically, they're out of town. In this case, many of them are local, to talk about critical issues. And this bridge, really, I didn't realize this, but it's kind of been in the planning or on the books the better part of 20 years. And the people that we are bringing on this panel have all literally kind of been involved in some form or fashion over the past two decades in the planning phase. And so we have four folks. It's going to be moderated by Jimmy Schumach. Jimmy used, before he retired, he was a program manager at Thompson Engineering. We have Matt Erickson, who's the regional engineer at LDOT. And LDOT, of course, came up with the three phases of construction that are under consideration now. We also have Kevin Harrison, who is the transportation director of the South Alabama Regional Planning Commission. And then we also have Missy Schumer. She was the lead environmental, or the environmental lead, I should say, for the environmental impact study that was approved by the federal government. So there probably are not four people on the planet who know more about this bridge than those four. What is the plans originally, the plans that didn't work out, what needs to be done now, and that's really the whole emphasis of the program, is just to bring everybody up to speed.
Now, we can come in person, right, but we can also see it online.
Absolutely. So we'll be streaming it online on Facebook and YouTube, and so you can see the whole event virtually if you like. You can go to our website, www.coastalcon.org, and pull up everything you need to either register virtually, watch it, or you can come down live. It'll be held at the History of Mobile Museum. That's the old City Hall, just downtown, kind of catty corner from the old courthouse and the Renaissance Hotel. And it gets started at 5:30.
Now, what kind of discussion is it going to be? You bring all these experts in. Is it going to be a conversation of here's how we pour the concrete to do this, or is it going to be, how do you pay for? I mean, what kind of questions are going to be brought up here?
Well, great question. Here's what we did. Now, one of the issues is with folks like this that have lived the project for so long, they're well steeped into the details. And so what we sat down with them in advance and said, listen, and I kind of treated myself as kind of the common Joe in this. I know some, but I don't know everything or the details. And I said, I want you to basically make believe that I know very little about this project, and you're trying to educate me on where we are now, what's happened, and what do we need to do in the future as a community or civic leaders to make this happen and take advantage of all the funding. So what we're going to do is we basically mapped out what we thought were a lot of the critical questions that folks might want answered. So we hope to answer most of those. But, you know, why do we need the bridge? If we don't build the bridge, what are the consequences? What are the history of the project? What are the designs being considered? And then, as you mentioned, what are the current funding scenarios? So those are just a couple of things, but we hopefully will hit just about everything that someone might ask. But if we don't, you can send those questions in via Facebook or the YouTube virtual broadcast, or if you're there in person. We won't be passing the mic because of COVID restrictions, and we will have social distancing, but we're going to arm you with pens and 3x5 cards, and you can ask any questions that we don't hit.
Yeah, it's in this conversation, I probably see it, but maybe, I don't know if it's simplistically, but you have two bookends. You have always bridge, no matter what, you know, get it done no matter what. Then you have a group of people that don't seem to want to discuss anything with the bridge. But I think, you know, obviously the lion's share of people are in the middle. They're saying, yes, but, you know, I hear that all the time in talk. Yes, we need a bridge, but. And I think that's probably what a lot of the conversation will be tomorrow night.
Well, I think you're right. I think most folks, when you tell them, for example, that, you know, the current structure is roughly 46 years old, and it was built on a 50-year design cycle. In other words, it's from the original design point of view, it has very little time left. It was also designed for 38,000 vehicles a day. Right now, we're at 75,000 vehicles a day. And when Ida hit, it was up to 110,000 vehicles a day. So you're looking at, you know, that's three times the design capability is what we're having to deal with now. And not to mention that the current plan, currently what we're doing is, if you have hazardous materials, those are coming close to downtown Mobile and through Africatown, and that's certainly something we would like to avoid, I think, as a community.
Once again, just joining us, talking to Michael Chambers. He's the Executive Director of Coastal Conversations. The event for tomorrow, How to Build a Bridge, Community Conversation. And once again, you can come in person, like you said, the History Museum. But if we want to log on right now, people just, and they go to Facebook and look for Coastal Conversations, or how do they find that link?
They go to our website and they can register live, or it will direct them to the specific links for YouTube and Facebook.
And I think while we have this conversation, too, this is a specific event, right? This is the event y'all are having. But Coastal Conversations is about a lot more than specifically this bridge conversation.
Absolutely. It's on critical issues of the community. And in February, we had Dr. Ron Ferguson on healthcare disparities from Harvard. We've had Chuck Marone, who's a top 10 urban planner. Many of you heard Costas Crist, the father of ecotourism. And next month, we have Cynthia Tucker, Pulitzer Prize winner, leading a panel on healthcare disparities with Dr. Errol Crook from here at South, Representative Anthony Daniels from Huntsville, and our own Quinn Hillier, journalist.
So, I mean, do y'all find issues of concern, and then you go search out these people? How does that work? Which comes first? I guess do you survey for what the topics are going to be?
Well, great question. As a matter of fact, one of the things we did was we conducted a quality of life survey several months ago. We surveyed 700 residents of Mobile and Baldwin County to get, you know, what do they think the critical issues are? What do they think about different items of interest? You know, what are their concerns? That helped us tremendously pick out some things that we think are critical. And then something like the bridge is kind of a no-brainer because obviously most of us think it needs to be done. So the survey, we get input from folks like you and your listening audience of, who should we bring to town to talk about something? And so our ears are open to ideas.
All right. So if somebody wants to be part of that process, you know, for what could be next and next and next here, that's something they do through your website?
Absolutely. We have all the contact information you would need on our website. Just get in touch with me, and we'd be delighted to sit down and talk to you about potential speakers. It's really our mission is to educate the greater community on key topics, because we feel like if people get the facts on these critical issues, there'll be a lot less infighting, a lot less politicking, and much more emphasis on getting the job done.
Like the way that sounds, a whole bunch. And I'll be tuned in tomorrow, probably remotely. We'll see in person, but probably remotely to check this out. Michael Chambers, I appreciate what you're doing for the community and putting these events on.
It's a team effort. Thank you so much, Sean. We appreciate it.
All right. So that's coming up. That's going to come up tomorrow. That'll be at 5:30. Once again, if you want to be there in person, it's going to be at the History Museum. Limited in-person tickets available or streamed online live, which is like I was watching a couple meetings today. I mean, it's kind of more like what is normal anymore. You know, you have a certain number of people come in person, but it's like a kind of a normal deal to go do these things remotely. I don't know. We'll come back to talk about that bridge some, but I've got a bunch of text here and some questions we'll get into. Also, some discussion with the passing of Mobile City Councilman LaVon Manzi, who's in a runoff coming up October 5th. What are the rules with that? That's a lot of questions about that this morning, so we'll try to get those answered as we move on through Midday Mobile. Online, fmtalk1065.com.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 1065.
All right, Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Get to the text in just a second here. Right now, I want to check in with my buddy Larry Kirby at LCM Motor Cars. And Larry, y'all been as a crew doing this a long time. I don't want to talk about how many years, but I rely on y'all, whether we're selling a vehicle or buying a vehicle. A lot of people do. Tell us kind of the process at LCM.
Okay, first of all, we're not old. We're just well experienced.
There you go.
So, yeah, we got a great inventory right now. As a matter of fact, we got some of them now lined up to get serviced. We get them checked out completely on our end. Plus, we've already had one inspection for the people we buy them from. But then we get them all ready to go. And if the customer comes in, they want to take it to the mechanic, we don't have a problem with that. And all most of our vehicles right now have got prices on the windshield. All of them have Carfaxes on the dash.
Yeah, I just shopped with you recently for my daughter's vehicle, and I love that. I love that pricing, so I could look at it and select between vehicles to even test drive. And then that Carfax, yeah, that folder right there on the windshield or on the dashboard.
Absolutely. So we full disclosure.
All right. Tell folks who want to come check out the selection and talk financing with you how to find you.
Come see us at Highway 90 and Plantation Road, online at lcmmotorcars.com. Please like us on Facebook or just call us at 375-0068.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks, John.
Larry Kirby checking in from LCM Motor Cars. Well, I don't even know where to go. I would do this story quickly here. Maybe I'll send this out on Twitter as well. This is just a one-off because I've got stuff I want to get into about Mobile City Council and the non-event this weekend in Washington, which, by the way, programming note, so it didn't happen last year. It happened 2 years ago. Last year they had to cancel it because of COVID, but Jeff Poore and I will both be in the Capitol, Washington, D.C., next week for the FAIR event. It's a immigration, national immigration group, but we go do our shows up there. I've got a couple of our, right now already scheduled, couple of our congressional delegation folks from Alabama scheduled to be on the show with me. Also, an interview, I did it 2 years ago, a rancher on the Arizona border right there, right on the U.S.-Mexico border, what it's like to be there and have that illegal immigration happening right there on your ranch, right there in your front yard. It's going to be compelling. So, yeah, that's next week, Wednesday and Thursday. Jeff and I will be broadcasting from Washington. No, this is the note I saw here. A couple of Business Insider reporting on it. They're not the only one, but it says Boeing is making two new jets to serve as Air Force One. And then here's the story. So, the big headline is booze bottles derail it's something like booze bottles derail Air Force One project. Okay, there's the headline. But, okay, so Boeing's making the two new jets to serve as Air Force One. Two small tequila bottles were found on board one of the planes this month. The project's been beset with delays and expected to run into 2025. It says Boeing's investigating the discovery of empty liquor bottles found inside the plane. I guess they're miniatures, right? Were they like, when they say small tequila, are they the miniatures? Or are they like a fifth? Boeing investigating discovery of empty liquor bottles found inside a plane set to become Air Force One. Two small bottles of tequila were found this month on the Boeing 747-8 under construction in San Antonio. Boeing supplied the official transportation to U.S. presidents for decades. The Pentagon said in 2016 it had tasked it to manufacture two new Boeing 747-8 aircraft to replace the two 747-200s now used by U.S. presidents. Where the bottles were found on the 747-8 is not clear. Alcohol is banned at the Boeing facility, the journal said. Boeing spokesperson told Business Insider, that it was a personal matter, a personnel matter, and they couldn't comment due to contractual reasons. So, I don't know. So I guess maybe they're sandbagging. Maybe Boeing's going to sandbag if this is just me. There's no news to this. This is complete conjecture on my part. But that, like so many Boeing projects, this one's way behind schedule, right? Not doing what. So maybe they can say, you know, it wasn't us. Wasn't the fact that we can't get this done. It was the fact that we had people in there doing Tequila Tuesday or something while they're making it. So we got that fixed, and now we're going to be right. I don't know, but that's the big story now. Tequila bottles found on the new Boeing Air Force One jet. All right. Conversation came up, and let me preface this, because what's most important is the passing of LaVon Manzi and the loss of LaVon Manzi, Mobile City Council President. He was slated for this runoff coming up October 5th. This note from the city: the Mobile City Council is mourning the loss of Council President Reverend LaVon Charles Manzi, a fourth-generation minister. Manzi was a true leader who loved his community and was passionate about serving the citizens of Mobile. Not only was he our colleague, but he was also a shining example of how to persevere and fight even during the toughest of times. We are heartbroken, and he will be dearly missed. Comments here from the other members of the city council. You can read those online. I think we have them up on our Facebook page as well. It says here, the kind of the history here, Manzi was first elected to represent District 2 in 2013. He was reelected in 2017, facing no opposition, and was unanimously selected by his colleagues for the position of vice president. While under his leadership, District 2 continues to undergo major renaissance. Manzi launched key initiatives to revitalize parks and recreation centers, rebuild and replace dangerous sidewalks in both neighborhoods and the downtown entertainment district, and has directed considerable funds towards road resurfacing and drainage projects and work to combat blight. While focused on the future of District 2, Manzi was also dedicated to preserving the historic past, from honoring local community leaders to ensuring historic communities are properly recognized for generations to come. All right, that's from the city. Let me add to this, too, that I saw. Here's what I saw in Councilman and City Council President LaVon Manzi. I saw leadership. Now, here's somebody that didn't line up with every vote he took. No, I did not. But he always seemed like a statesman and a person that warranted leadership, right? And even as late as just a month and a half ago or so, in the big did you take the email thing that Councilman Richardson, remember, and the administration were in a tiff about? It was Councilman Manzi who came in almost like, you know, King Solomon. To find a way through, to find a compromise here. And so he'll be remembered for that. And I've never heard a cross word about him from anybody. And so it's a real big loss to our city, the death so soon of Councilman LaVon Manzi. And questions came in, what happens? We talked about this through the morning out in the hallways, what happens coming up in the runoff. David on the text line says he has talked to, I think he's talked to, let me see here. He says, yeah, he's, I think he talked to the Secretary of State. I don't know where, yeah, from the Secretary of State's office. The Mobile City Council District 2 runoff will continue as initially planned because the ballots have already been printed. If the deceased candidate were to win the upcoming election, then there would be a vacancy for that position. If the surviving candidate wins the upcoming election, then the matter will be resolved. Regulations for filling a vacancy can vary from municipality to municipality because municipalities may have their own local laws. So that's kind of from the Secretary of State's office. We'll talk more about that coming up October 5th, not far off.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. We'll be right back.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. A lot of news to get to here before we wrap up. I want to add this to the mix as well. Think about your business. I know our business here is based on efficiency, right? Efficiency, the use of your time, streamlining. And think about the time. So you got all these other mechanisms going on that streamline to make the business more efficient. But still, you got to go out and get stamps. I mean, think about how, like, all the high-tech stuff in your business, but then you still got to go, the hassle going to the post office and getting stamps. Well, you don't have to, because Stamps.com, that's what we use, brings the services of the U.S. Postal Service and UPS right to your computer. It's a must-have for your business. I mean, we use it for sending out invoices or whatever mail we have to send. We can do it right there from our computer. Stamps.com can handle all this with ease. 1 million businesses have chosen Stamps.com, like us, for their mailing and shipping. Simply use your computer to print official U.S. postage 24/7 for any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send it. And once your mail is ready, you just schedule a pickup or drop it off in the mailbox like we do. It's simple. Stamps.com, you'll get discounts up to 40% off post office rates and up to 66% off UPS shipping rates. Not to mention Stamps.com is a fraction of the cost of those expensive postage meters. So do this. Stop wasting time at going to the post office and go to Stamps.com instead. There's no risk. And with my promo code Sean, S-E-A-N, you get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitment or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in my name, Sean. That's Stamps.com, promo code Sean, S-E-A-N. Stamps.com, never go to the post office again. Yeah, and get streamlined here. All right, a couple things here. First, before we go any further, though, I don't want to miss this. I know we talked about it a little bit, but I want to say big happy birthday, a big 30th happy. Dalton, can you come in here? A big 30th happy birthday for Dalton. This is good. And I know that there was a running deal going on our Facebook page, advice for Dalton. Now he's made it to 30 years old. 30s are good, man. 30s are good.
The dirty 30.
The dirty 30s are good. Oh, I look back on it fondly here. So, happy 30th to you.
Thank you.
We got barbecue because of you today, and yeah, birthday cake back there because of you today.
Mm-hmm.
I get to play some Luke Skywalker,
of course,
because it's your birthday. Yeah, we used to do this all the time. We used to play this song pretty constantly on the morning show. So I felt it was a problem that the Luke birthday song had not been played much lately. So
the only time I really ever care about my astrological sign,
yeah,
when DJ Luke's on.
That's right.
I believe I'm a Virgo.
So you're calling out Virgos. It's yeah, your birthday.
Go Virgo. Virgos.
It's your birthday. There you exactly go. And then you could be like Luke in the video and ride a jet ski around there next to Star Island in Miami.
I have rented a jet ski to ride around in a pool later
good
this afternoon.
Good. What will the kids think about that? Will the children be allowed on it?
That would probably be unsafe.
Well, happy birthday to you, man.
Thank you.
I mentioned this on Twitter. Not only are you my friend, you are my absolute right-hand man.
Oh.
When y'all that love FM Talk 106.5 and love what you hear, big reason you hear that is that man sitting right here, birthday boy Dalton Norwig.
Well, I mean, pretty awesome place to work, pretty good company to work. I mean, I got I got barbecue today, I got cake.
Yeah, so it's good.
Couldn't ask for much more.
This guy's got more hustle than, like, you know, a whole stadium of people. He's a really amazing
stop
guy.
Stop it.
Really amazing guy, and been a great friend. So happy birthday
thank
to you,
thank you. Well, I said it this morning. I don't know if you were listening, but in the wise words of a wise man I know, it only gets harder from here.
Yeah, it's the wisdom of the 11-year-old. Yes, he was saying for his 11th birthday, you for your 30th.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Thank you.
Hey, happy birthday. By the way, just side note before I wrap up here, there's did you watch any of the coverage of this January 6th Part 2 rally in D.C.?
The coverage of the media that showed up in D.C. for the rally?
The media, it was way more media than, I think they said maybe 300 protesters.
Mm-hmm.
And then in amongst the protesters, looking, a lot of people are like, they seemed like they possibly were agents themselves undercover.
Yes.
Like the school narc guy.
Exactly.
What was that movie you and I used to always talk about?
Hello, fellow children, teenagers.
Yeah, so yeah. Steve Buscemi.
Yeah, he was. What was that movie?
I can't remember. Right? Was that an Adam Sandler movie or what was it? But he's standing there with the skateboard, wearing a hoodie in the high school.
And says, hello,
hello, fellow teenagers. Didn't it look like you had some like undercover agents out there?
I can't prove it, but yeah, it seemed like that was. So how many was it really? So. You had, I know that the left-wing media was just absolutely disappointed that something didn't go on.
Yeah, because what was the actual mission statement of that rally?
They're protesting those people in prison, right, that were in prison from the first rally.
Because there are a lot of people still in jail from January 6th.
And all I ask for those people, because I think they're a bunch of knuckleheads, but I would just ask for the law to be enforced just like it would to anybody else who did that somewhere else.
Yeah.
Right? Let's just have even enforcement of the law.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's sad because it's not, it's definitely partisan. It's not, flip it around. If there's a chance, I wouldn't want to see some left-wing rally go berserk.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want harm to our country.
Right.
And so to see just the level of desire on left wing media to have something happen, over the weekend was ridiculous.
Oh, they wanted January 6th part two.
Absolutely.
No doubt. I think they thought they were going to break some windows, climb back into the Capitol, which, by the way, if you're a Capitol police officer or someone else called to work that day, what do you think they were thinking? They're like, anything could happen today.
Right. But it didn't.
No.
It didn't. So we'll keep our eyes. I'm going to be up there next week. So I'll, see if they've now taken all the, they brought a bunch of dump trucks just around the Capitol. Mm-hmm. And they had deputized all the local law enforcement and brought in all these folks.
More fences around the Capitol they put up. What's going to get interesting, speaking of protests or rallies, BLM. Headed to New York City because of this vaccine mandate that they have, just like L.A. So, New York City and L.A. are the two cities I know that are basically requiring vaccine passports to get into clubs, restaurants, whatever. And there was a story last week about some idiots who beat up an employee just trying to enforce the mandate, right? So they're not the employees that are standing at the front of the restaurant.
It's what I get people yelling at people with the Walmart greeter doesn't make the rule. Don't yell at them.
They're just put in the incredibly difficult position of enforcing the arbitrary rules that are put up there. But they beat up, I guess, this woman in New York City for trying to enforce the mandate. BLM is headed up there in support of the people who, I guess, beat up on this woman asking for their vaccine passport because they're saying it's not fair.
This will be interesting. It'll be on bedfellows, maybe.
So if BLM is anti-vax, that's going to put the Bidens and the Harrises in a precarious position.
It's going to ruin their narrative, huh? All right. Dr. William Terry joins us next on Time for a Checkup. Happy birthday, man.
Thank you.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5. And great to have in studio Dr. William Terry, a urologist and men's health expert at the University of Urology. Thanks for being here.
It's great to be here, Sean. Thanks for having me.
We populate our conversation before we even go on about just things around town, different things. We're talking about school plays. We're talking about high school and all that. I mean, you're a homeboy?
I am a homeboy. I was raised here in Mobile from the age of about 2 onward. Yeah. My father was a physician in the area. He was a urologist, actually. And so I went to local high school, K through 12, and did all the things here growing up. Learned to love Mardi Gras and fishing and being over the bay and riding my bike all around town all growing up.
Well, and then I look at this. At that point, that's like all of us. And then you take off with this advanced education here. Kind of walk us through your training.
High school, I went to UMS Wright, and then I went up to the University of Virginia for my undergraduate studies. Actually had a strong, wonderful mentor up there who encouraged me to major in something I really was interested in a non-scientific field. So I knew I wanted to be a doctor. I knew I wanted to pursue pre-med, but I actually got my major in religious studies.
Really? So that's good that you, at that point, they weren't telling you just, that's great.
Yeah. He was a fellow pre-med guy and he was doing a major in English. I've always been a a church guy, so and had that kind of interest. I've called into the show before, right. Actually made a couple of comments. but they had a particularly excellent program up at UVA, so I dove headfirst into that while I was doing all my organic chemistry and physics and biology.
Well, it's pretty good. You talk about working both sides of the brain there, yeah, and the heart.
Trying to.
You know, while you're doing that.
Trying to.
So and so you do that residency training at UAB.
Correct. So I came from Virginia back down to University of South Alabama for med school.
Okay.
So I spent four great years back here in Mobile, close to mom and dad, and just hunkering down, getting the MD degree. At that point, mom says, watch out, friends. He knows just enough to hurt you. So I have to go up to UAB for my residency training in urology. That includes a year of general surgery and then 4 years of urology after that.
Wow. Wow. So, I mean, it's a ton of training, but obviously it comes to our benefit as your patients here. Let's talk about that and men's health issues, right? Yeah. So we've talked about, you know, ED comes up as part of this discussion. That's affected. You had a stat. How many people are over 40?
It's a higher percentage than you would think. You know, I think I get 40-year-old guys in my office every week, and there's a lot of hesitancy, and it takes a lot for a guy to come in and talk about it at that young of an age, but it's not uncommon. A percentage is hard to say, but it's something
that— But it's not unusual for somebody at 40.
It is not, and it's especially important for a guy who may be below 50 in his 40s. If they're having that problem that early, it's likely due to another medical condition that is significant and that we need to fix first before we focus on the ED part.
So you'll see this, Dr. Terry, you'll see somebody come in and, you know, I get this, and we'll talk about the kind of who wants to go in and have that conversation, but they do. And you find out that this is secondary to something they need to go get looked at right then.
Absolutely. And a lot of them, you can kind of see their eyes just sort of open up and realize when I lead them through questions like, what's your family history? Has anyone in your family had a heart attack or a stroke or a cholesterol problem or diabetes? And once I start connecting the dots for them, they kind of look up and they realize that they need to go ahead and take some more steps to address this.
Wow. That's an eye opener. And for people to have that conversation, yes, it's tough, but it's even if it's not a medical condition, other than that, in itself, it's a quality of life issue.
It is. It's a big time quality of life issue. It's a very personal issue. And I respect that. All my staff respect that. And we really treat people with care and concern, and it's our everyday thing. So if you're dealing with it,
y'all seen that before, right? But it's hard. I mean, it's hard to get us guys to go to the physician in the first place, go to the doctor for whatever.
Exactly. You know, we often diagnose guys with low testosterone during the workup. That can be a piece of it.
Okay, I hear that thrown around. Okay, I hear that, you know, low testosterone. How common is that?
Sure, it's not a direct cause of the erectile dysfunction in most men, but it can be a significant contributing factor. It's part of a standard workup for us. We check that. We check a lot of other things to make sure we're covering all the bases. But if a guy's got a really low T, low testosterone level, and he's having trouble, we fix that first. We rule out the other dangerous things. We fix that. And often that alone helps him. We talk about how if your mind's not right, other things aren't going to be right. And that's really, testosterone affects the libido, the mindset. And if it's low, the mind's not going to be quite right.
Yeah. And that's okay. This is great to hear you say as a physician, because I've heard people talk about that it's not just libido for somebody. It's even beyond the bedroom.
Yeah. It's multifactorial. Yeah. And so we help break that down. We help tease out those details and figure out, you know, how can we create a personalized plan to get these guys and their ED treated well.
And you're talking about this workup process. So that means you come in and you're not just going to say, okay, it's just ED. We're going to look at everything and make sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Which is good, because there are things that, you know, maybe they already have it in their mind that this is how you treat this.
Yeah.
You've got a solution before we even get to that.
We've seen so many different examples of how this can go down, right? Mm-hmm. I even talk to my patients about a little bit on the psychological front. You know, are you overstressed? How is your work life? How's your relationship? I at least ask those cursory questions. Now, I'm not a trained psychologist or anything.
Right, but you're putting that into the formula here of what might be going on.
Absolutely. We try to take a holistic look at it, and we've got a great network of people. If that becomes a primary issue in my mind, I've got three or four guys I can refer out to, and we can get people connected to who can help them.
Okay. This is like the conversations going all the time, the stuff we're talking about with you know, by peers. The other thing I hear a lot about, and my gosh, it seems like I hear about it every 2 weeks now, is kidney stones.
Mm.
Okay. Like more people I know anymore is kidney stones.
Yeah. I say that we live in the stone belt, Sean.
is it regional? Because it seems like I hear about it all the time.
Absolutely. I think A lot of it is our culture. We live in the South. We've got good food, good eating, a lot of meat, a lot of salt. We drink a lot of tea. We drink eat some good desserts with a lot of sugar.
All right, you're describing me.
Okay, exactly. So there's the cultural piece. There is the climate piece. Dr. Bill could tell us we live in a hot, hot area.
Right.
We get dehydrated in the summer. All right. Dehydration is probably the number one cause of kidney stones across the board.
Yeah. Really? Just not drinking?
Absolutely, yeah. Because the more concentrated the urine gets, the more these crystals coalesce and come together to form
stones. I'll be darned.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing is genetics. I think there's probably just some genetic predisposition to this. I know that there is. And it's just a perfect storm down here in the South.
Okay. So it's not wild that I hear about this from a lot of my peers.
And the other reason you hear about it so much, unfortunately, is because it's one of the most painful things someone can go through to pass a kidney stone naturally.
That's what has to be scared. People describe this and say, this is tough.
That's right. One of the reasons I became a urologist is because there's a really great mix of medicine and surgery. It's about 50-50.
Okay.
So I get the opportunity to treat people, to diagnose, to prescribe medicines, but then I also have the training and the opportunity to go take them to the operating room and fix the problem if it comes up like that. I love urology for that reason. I like to fix things, but I'm also okay managing things.
Right.
And both sides of that coin apply to or are relevant for kidney stone people because we got to treat them in their moment of need when they're acutely ill and hurting. But we also really have to respect the fact that they don't want to have surgery every few months. They want to stop suckers. Yeah. And keep them gone. So we can tackle both issues.
Dr. Terry, you led off talking about the stuff we eat, you know, the dehydration before you even mentioned anything surgical. So obviously it's a very important part of this.
Absolutely. We can work up urine, talk about diet, and really every stone former is unique. They're all like special little snowflakes out there. And everyone's biochemistry is unique. We work up their urine chemistry and we craft a plan for them. Sometimes it's not easy to implement these lifestyle changes, but as soon as someone goes through the process of passing a stone, they're motivated to make some changes.
You probably have their direct attention at that point.
Yes, definitely.
So talk to people about that maybe have had a stone in the past, but want to come in and consult with you to try to make sure that doesn't happen again.
We're taking appointments. It's one of my areas of expertise, and we just start with a good history and physical. We do some basic labs. I look at all the imaging. I just take everything into account. And if you got some stones already there that we need to deal with, we've got two or three different ways to deal with those, especially those people that come in with stones which are too large to pass naturally. These are called staghorn stones because they fill up the inner workings of the kidney to the point where it almost looks like deer antlers, a staghorn antler. These are my mentor, Dr. Acemos at UAB, called them the great white shark of kidney stones. And that's a pretty good explanation because they can cause all sorts of problems. They're very difficult to get out. But we've got some excellent equipment at the university, an excellent team, and we do at least one of those big stones a week over there.
Wow. Yeah. So y'all have seen this. You've done this.
Yes.
All right. Let's talk about this. So people want to get with you, come in and set that appointment, whether it's an acute situation or we're trying to prevent a chronic situation there. Making that appointment with University of Urology, you specifically, Dr. Terry, what do they need to do?
You can look us up on the web. We have a website through the University of South Alabama. There's also a Facebook page. If you just type in University Urology, Mobile, Alabama, we should pop up. The University Hospital in Midtown is where we do all of our surgery and all of our procedures and where we take care of all of our inpatients. So we're consolidated at that hospital.
Okay.
We don't cover any other hospitals. Our office is at Dolphin Street 965 at the big glass building there, right across from, I guess, the McDonald's there on Dolphin Street, the interstate. And we're happy to take your call and make your appointment. Someone at that main number, which is 660-5930, they can take care of you and help you out.
All right. Remember to ask for this man, urologist Dr. William Terry. Thanks for being here.
You're very welcome. It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.